Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I know there's a lot of questions O-line. Feel really good about that position now. Guys can plug in right now and play. And there's a couple guys that over the course of the year should continue to get better to help us in the future, this year or even down the road. So we're in a good shape there. Feel good about where we are.
That was Ryan Poles. How long ago was that, Robbie?
That'd be August 26th.
That's August 26th. Since then, we've seen a few things, haven't we? Bears 3-2. They went through their bye week. This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And as I qualify the is this petty game with saying that's a good problem to have, concerned about whether or not the analyst was too critical of your quarterback after a win, I say the same thing in this vein. Like, as critical as we have been, and I think fairly, of Ryan Poles and his talent evaluation and acquisition, what we're also seeing is a coach that he had a hand in hiring, doing the right things with the talent enough to win one score games, which was not the hallmark of his previous head coach. 6-20 was Matt Eberflus in one score games previous to Ben Johnson taking over. So the question was asked, how much credit should Ryan Poles get for this Bears 3-game win streak? And I think for me, you do get some knowing that you are part of putting in a proper infrastructure, but I still feel like there are concepts and one-on-one battles that certain high-dollar players aren't winning enough to say, oh, well, you've certainly turned this thing around, lock, stock, smoking barrel, like now we can move on and everybody's fine. Like the fact that we're still asking in our meeting, for example, among the four of us, Robbie, Ray, Marshall, and me, about whether or not the Bears should be buyers at the trade deadline, that gives you an indication that this roster isn't complete. The team isn't complete based on what we know. And there's been a lot of money thrown around this offseason. So that concerns me when I try to piece this all together. Like, you still don't have enough sacks for the output of your defensive line and the money you spent to me to say you deserve credit for this. I think they're making do with what they have in a positive way right now. Like they still signed DeAndre Swift, and I still thought that was a good signing because he was the second biggest free agent running back name to Saquon Barkley. Like we all knew that. He was number two in that market. That was a good idea. But to not supplement him with a back that complements his outside style, how he runs outside zone well, how he does other things well, like pass catching, as we've seen, that is an indictment upon the front office. Like, you can make this work, but when it comes to the roster building itself, for how long?
The question I had and the why it popped up is because, like, okay, they've won 3 games in a row. Ryan Poles ultimately is the architect of everything that we see. Now, I'll give Ryan credit in this. He gets credit for making the trade that set up the acquisition of the number one overall pick with which he took Caleb Williams. You can debate whether or not Williams should have been the quarterback that he took with the number one overall pick, understanding he did no scouting of the guy who went number two and to this point has a better career than Caleb Williams.
You can make all that. Who got NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
Who was being compared in some say an unfair way on Monday night, as we mentioned.
Yes, but you get credit for, you know, putting yourself in position to have Lovie Smith help you get the number one overall pick on the last weekend of the season. You get credit for being the GM who got to be in charge when Ben Johnson got on a Zoom call and said, I want to coach the Chicago Bears, and ended the same Zoom call saying, I want to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears. You get credit for going out and getting what Ben Johnson, I guess, felt like he needed to make his team effective in year one, spending the first couple of picks on offensive players, one we've seen flash a lot more than the other, and neither, I would say, has lived up to what the billing of a number one or a number two pick should be. When you look at four guys taken in the first two rounds, you can say none of them, except for maybe Luther Burden, who had a late start because he was injured at the start of training camp, has lived up to that. But I can't give him much more credit than that, Layla, based on this small sample of evidence with the five games. Now, if they continue to win games and they get through the first half of the season with a winning record, we can revisit just how much credit Ryan Poles should get. But I guess I give him credit right now for not screwing things up further after what we had seen the first few seasons with him in charge.
See, and that's interesting because I thought based on you even submitting the question that you thought he needed more credit than what he was getting.
I thought I just gave him more credit than I would have given him 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing. It's like, it's not that Ryan Poles can't get out of probably what is the fans' doghouse in the decisions that he's made to this point. It's that he has some runway to make things right because Ben Johnson is bona fide, ready to stamp and approve him as a valuable and viable head coach in the National Football League.
It is true that a good head coach will fix a lot of your problems. He will do the most with the talent. And the way people wish that had happened, I think, on the North side, more with Craig Counsell, that is the case with a football coach. They have that kind of power. They have that effect on your win-loss record. They have that effect. And you're seeing Ben Johnson do that. I think you're seeing him make the most out of what he has, especially when he said he had simplified the playbook. That lets you know that this group of people can't run the things he wanted to run initially. And while some people see it as a red flag, good coaches will see it as a problem to solve. And I feel like that's what we've seen so far. He's taken it on as something where if the objective is simply to win games, then I consider it more of a problem solved because he's winning in spite of who he has. I think the record in drafting and the record in spending still stands on itself. Colston Loveland was taken 10th overall. Luther Burden was taken 39th overall. That was considered, of course, as we know, a steal. And he's made some incredible plays that really show you what he can do, the flashes that you talk about, Marshall. He's also seeing time on special teams, which I think, as we've seen, really does factor in and can be a really positive difference for a player. But Ozzie Trapillo still not being able to start? You drafted a project yet again? Jervon Dexter was drafted as a project. But fortunately for the other highly paid veterans on the defensive line, he's still probably your most successful pass rusher right now, outside of Dominique Robinson.
That's crazy.
If you look at the numbers, and Dominique Robinson was in pass coverage, and I didn't think that was a great idea, but you saw a lot of the choices staring them in the face even on Monday. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt was more effectively neutralized thanks to a Dennis Allen defense. Dennis Allen was still hired by the Bears. But the reason we talk about Bill more than Kyle Manungai is because he's been starting level caliber in the NFL.
The other guy that you haven't mentioned yet, but I'm sure you're about to, is that other second round pick whose name we have not heard much of.
You're talking about Ozzie Trapillo? You're talking about Shamar Turner?
Shamar Turner.
And Shamar Turner was injured, as we saw before, but I feel like at least he's getting some playing time, which is more than I can say for a guy like Trapillo. And I'm a big believer that your first two round players should be part of the album cover, so to speak. They should be the difference makers. And while I'm here, the Denver Broncos have 30 sacks now on the season as a team.
Is that a lot?
30! That is 10 more than number two, Pittsburgh.
They did get to play Justin Fields, though, and get 9 of those sacks against him.
Woof. But also, by the way, Pittsburgh has a chance to close that gap tonight in what we are dubbing the Unk Bowl.
Well, we haven't dubbed it yet. We're going to decide later what we're going to dub it.
I don't know.
There's options there.
The stand on your with your hands on your hips and look into the distance bowl. the old head bowl. We got a couple names. Panthers are still last in the league with 5 sacks as a team, and the Bears after Monday are now up to 8.
The fact that you said up to eight, we're still in single digits, and somebody other teams
they
have
gave
30.
A sack to some. They gave a sack to a ghost too. They gave a team sack, and I still don't know who got the credit for that. Javon got 1.5, and Dominique Robinson got a half.
Yeah, and so the question goes back to, you know, as we talk about the Bears and where they are this season, 3-2, here on Raheemy Harrison Grody, what grade would you give Ryan Poles in 2025? Look, I know ultimately it's an I, it's an incomplete. But right now, you gotta give them credit where credit is due and say, you didn't screw it up so bad that they couldn't have a winning record. That's really the way I look at it, Layla. They're good enough to have a winning record, and you could say because Ryan Poles got better at his job, or you could say in spite of Ryan Poles. I'm not ready to say in spite of Ryan Poles. It could go back that way if those sack numbers continue the way you just described them. Because remember what my question has been every offseason for the last 4 years. Who's getting to the quarterback? Who's getting to the quarterback? I was told Dio Odingbo was getting to the quarterback. I was told Montez Sweat was getting to the quarterback. Now, Montez Sweat, I thought, had a better game this past Monday than people want to admit. But Dio, have you seen much from Dio this year?
Not enough for that contract. And that's the point, is the Bears a lot of times will draft people and they will pay people based on potential rather than past performance. And it's fine to talk about now in this respect when you're still under a quarterback's rookie contract, but everybody gets expensive really quick. And look no further than, say, the Ravens as an example of how expensive and slow a defense can get quickly. Like, when you spend money on that side of the ball, it can absolutely hurt you.
And I'm just, I don't know. I want to know whether or not the people believe in this team the way I believe in this team. Because I believe Ben Johnson is the guy. I believe Caleb Williams is the guy. Still not sure about that defense. Got a lot more faith in the offense than the defense. But I do believe in Dennis Allen's ability to try to make something out of not as much as he needs.
Tyler Gordon and TJ Edwards coming back made that defense look a lot better, and it was more effective. And I believe that TJ Edwards coming back was also a big reason the run defense was more effective. So two people can make a difference like that, especially when they're two of your best players on your team. But when it comes to trying to see how the GM gets factored into all of this, your choices and your players will reflect every single week in the NFL. And that's something that not only we do, but your opponent is going to analyze every single time.
And that's why this game with the Saints is a bit concerning, because I'm just, I need to see more of the foot on the throat of the team that they're facing when it's an inferior opponent. I know the Saints aren't as bad as their quote unquote 1-5 record would tell you, but they should win this game. It's at home. And I'm holding my breath because I'm a little bit worried about this Sunday's game, Layla. I mean, when I say a little bit, I'm a lot of bit worried about this Sunday's game.
309 says you literally never pay somebody for past performance. That has been said on this show and multiple shows on The Score. I am a different person. I have a different opinion sometimes than a lot of my coworkers. I don't think you pay somebody above market value for something they haven't shown that they can do yet. That's how I feel. I don't think you draft somebody in the second round based on something they haven't done yet, because you're putting a lot of faith in your system, and I have no faith that your system has worked yet. That's how I feel.
Also, 309, nobody complained about the Sweat trade and extension when it happened. Hindsight is always 2020. It's not about...
Actually, they did. Mike Florio on this station questioned whether or not they were going to extend Montez Sweat, because that was a big piece of a question mark as to how much they gave up in the trade. And then we questioned when he got it, if he could live up to that price of the extension. And we were encouraged by what he did during that year. So that's not exactly true either.
Also, 708, how do you knock a defense that leads the league in takeaways? Listen.
When you go over the sack numbers, that's pretty easy. I'm not talking about takeaways. I'm talking about the pass rush.
It's got to be sustainable. And you need more quarterback pressure to be sustainable as a winner in this league.
That's it. I mean, and listen, did they take advantage of the opportunities they had in front of them and they tried to take away the ball? Absolutely. Did we give them credit for being 3-2? Yes. You can listen without context all you want, but there's a reason we're discussing this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Stacy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing really well. It's a nice rainy day in Chicago, and I love when players swear during my interviews. So if it's the word hell or whatever it may be, I don't need an apology. DeAndre Swift was phenomenal on Monday Night Football.
He had a great game.
His best game as a Bear, and certainly they take that with momentum into this week. Stacy, but let's start with the conditions. You were there. Jake Moody kicked the game winner anyway. How difficult was the wind? Was the rain? How surprised were you with what happened with Jake Moody?
You know, I wasn't surprised because I think Ben Johnson said it, David, very appropriately that, you know, sometimes a change of scenery is really good for a player. This is a player who's had success historically, and sometimes when you're pushed to the test in tough environments, you rise to the occasion. It's not unlike a basketball player or any athlete really playing through the flu and having an incredible performance. Your mind goes to a singular focus, if you will, and I thought that Moody was particularly dialed in. Unfortunate to see that blocked kick, but he had a really, I thought, focused and very accurate night, and I think that the conditions maybe helped elevate him to another level. It was raining sideways at one point when I was doing hits on NFL Network before the game, just an hour and a half before the game. Our entire set blew up in my face because the wind was so bad. So I give him a lot of credit, and I give the Bears a lot of credit for their performance.
And, you know, it's pretty extraordinary that they the winning drive came, you know, the Bears had gone, I believe, 3 and out, and then they get the ball back because Jaden Daniels has a fumble while trying to hand off. The weird thing is they're running like a running play out of the shotgun amid the pouring rain. It started pouring. He's getting soaking wet, and he's kind of fumbling the ball. He never really had the ball as he's trying to hand it off. And, you know, next thing you know, it's on the ground. The Bears get it back. And I know it's crazy to say this, but even though they hadn't done anything on the previous possession, I felt like when they got the ball back, well, they're going to march down and take a field goal to win the game. Like, it really felt, in a weird way, because Caleb has been good in those situations that they might win the game now because of that mistake.
It was wild. It was wild, Molly. You're not alone to witness what we saw as, you know, time ticked down and things transpired. What I would just say is the Bears are finding out what it's like and learning how to win games. And that is, for me, like in critical situations, Ben Johnson didn't have immediate success in Detroit. Like, the Detroit Lions didn't have immediate success. You have to go back to that original model with Dan Campbell. The Bears lost so many close games last year. I mean, now we're seeing a team that is actually figuring out how to win close games. That was a masterful victory, in my opinion, and to be there and witness it, understanding what had happened in the prior season coming out of the bye. And you know, thank God for Tyreek Stevenson and the Bears that that is now a race because they've reclaimed themselves. And we talked about this last week, you guys, going there and having a really good performance and being able to win. Despite all those variables, Molly, that you just mentioned, if you're the Chicago Bears, I take a three-game win streak, okay? 8-plus turnover margin tied with Jacksonville, the Chicago Bears, for number one in the National Football League currently. They've had three games in a row with three straight takeaways. The defense is taking the football away. 12 takeaways is second in the NFL behind the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, it's still early in the year, but it's their most through five games since 2018. I mean, I think there's a lot of positives to look at, and I haven't even touched on the offensive line. I thought the line was particularly good. Theo Benedict was particularly good in the run game. I mean, there were so many positives to take away from this performance if you're the Chicago Bears.
When you interviewed Theo Benedict about that performance, did you trade Canadian inside jokes with him?
No, but I should have worn my hockey sweater with him on my Canadian hockey, because I have an older one. He's got a newer model. I'm a little bit older than Theo, but I did, when he walked in the facility on Monday night, I did wish him a happy Thanksgiving. So I called him out and wished him a happy Thanksgiving.
That's great. And he has every reason to celebrate, Stacey. You're exactly right. Thrust into a starting role. He did earn it. Darnell Wright comes back, and we've been marveling all morning about him playing with that brace, the bulky brace, and yet that was probably the best the Bears came out of a game feeling about their offensive line because of the way they ran the football.
Yeah, David, it was really – to watch it in person, to see it in person and to be there, and to hear the deflation of that stadium when – you go for, I'm hearing a little feedback, by the way, so I'm sorry if I sound a little bit delayed, but to go for 145 rush yards, to see what DeAndre Swift did, and then to go back and look at the numbers. So what's interesting, if you go to Next Gen, and you can say what you want about stats, but Caleb has a longer time to throw this season than he did last season. So he's just over 3 seconds to throw the football this year. But he's facing a lower pressure rate. It's right around 30% versus the pressure that he saw last season. So I go back and I kind of look at, you know, this game and the last game and what's transpiring. And he's got a better offensive line. Pretty simple. He's got more skill players. So there's more, you know, coverage responsibility for the defense. And he's just gotten better. Like, he's improving drastically from game to game with Ben Johnson. Coaching matters. Ben Johnson is just so deliberate. The things that we've said about him are so true over these last 7 months. And I think that now I understand why the Bears were shuffling through tackles during the preseason. Because Theo Benedict, what he did in the run game, go back and I've gone back and watched at least three quarters of the game. And he was particularly good in his run blocking responsibilities. And I give a lot of credit to the Bears for coming out of the bye and being prepared on both sides of the football, particularly when it came to the run game. I remember when I spoke with Kevin Byard last week, you guys, he said the tail of the tape. You guys asked me last week, remember, Molly? What's going to be the conversation Tuesday morning? The run game. I said, who runs the ball better and who defends the run better. And the Bears won on both sides of the football.
Which is hard to believe, given the results that happened earlier in the year and the way they were situated going in. And frankly,
right.
Stacey, we've talked a lot about it this week. The very fact that, you know, you can't do what you used to do during a bye week. You can't mm-hmm. hold practices. You can't go back to basics. You can't have tackling drills. The players are off. So they made these changes sort of – they made some personnel changes, got some people healthy. You know, huge deal that T.J. Edwards is back for the Bears in the run defense. But they couldn't – and, you know, and as you say, Benedet was a starter and he wasn't going into the bye. But I thought it was pretty extraordinary that they could scheme, that their coaching is good enough. And I got to ask you about that element that mm-hmm. now, you know, Dennis Allen was phenomenal, I thought, in that game.
Yeah.
Now he gets his old team coming into Chicago. So, you know, it's not like, you know, people are going to call him a traitor and boo him like they did Ben Johnson in Detroit. But it's got to mean something to him personally to take on the team that he once coached.
Yeah, I think that this should be a route for the Chicago Bears. Now, I don't believe there's ever, as I say that, a route in the NFL, a route meaning a dominant performance. But Chicago's averaging 25 points a game offensively. Like, they're scoring points. The team they're facing is giving up 27 points per game in New Orleans. And Dennis Allen coached just a hell of a football game. We know how good he's been historically as a defensive play caller, Molly, to answer your question. I don't know if emotions are going to go into this because I think the Bears are solely focused on the Bears. I think there's an upward trajectory happening with this football team that's really impressive. And they're getting better and better and better. And everybody is looking themselves in the mirror right now, I feel like. Well, Ben made a comment last week that Caleb doesn't make the same mistake twice. Do you guys recall him saying that?
Yeah.
I believe it. Like, I do think Caleb is taking the coaching. Obviously, in his post-game press conference, he called Ben Johnson a mastermind. There's a lot of really positive things happening here for the Chicago Bears that I think you have to look at. And, man, the place should be rocking because you're going for your fourth straight victory at home this Sunday. And things are just, you know, getting better and better and better. You face New Orleans, Baltimore, who's kind of been the most shocking story in the NFL for me this season, given all their attrition with their injuries and their record. And then the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bears should literally win their next three games. So that to me is very interesting to look at the schedule and where this team could be here in another 3 weeks.
Given your vantage point, any insight into what DJ Moore was playing through, the pain that was obvious, the injury that we found out later, he still didn't really miss significant playing time. He was on the field to the end, and now he's, mm-hmm. you know, he returned late. He stayed in the hospital overnight. He definitely is a guy they need, but it seems like he did play through a lot of pain. Tough guy.
Yeah, but he did that a couple weeks ago, David and Molly, right? Man, he's tough. I don't know further whatever the team has given us is essentially what I know. I don't have any further information on that. I think we're all kind of waiting, but I think Ben mentioned that it was a groin. He has a groin issue. Yeah. It was really impressive to see him closing things out and being a part of it in a really important game for the Chicago Bears. He's a tough guy.
Yeah, they really, to win, that I guess it's the first time in league history that a team has won by the identical scores of 25-24. They had to block a punt to get to that point against the Raiders, and then they needed that field goal at the end to get to that point against Washington. I guess it's the last time a team won two games by a single point was in 1925, like something crazy like that. So they're on a real roll, and you got to feel good about the fact that they're winning. But as we've been talking about, there were plenty of errors in that Raiders game that needed correcting. There are plenty of errors in the Washington game that they're going to have to correct. So to be able to win despite some subpar moments in the game is incredibly impressive, especially with a first-year head coach.
It really is, Molly. And I will say this, and I know that the listeners right now will be nodding their heads. That penalty call on Theo Benedict was absolutely pathetic. For them to call yes. that, based upon his positioning, which we didn't really have a great vantage point on.
Right.
But if we don't have a great vantage point on it with multiple cameras on a primetime game, and the official calls that on a Rome Odunze, which will be go down probably as the best touchdown this year that was called back. That was absolutely disgusting.
He deserves a Kraft dinner just for that call.
Yes, that
against
call.
Against him. Yes.
And I'm not one to come down on, you know, when I go back and look at games, official calls, because it's a really hard job to referee in any sport.
Right.
And at the same token, to call that, okay, like that is, to me, inexcusable because it wasn't like Theo jump-started the defense, right? This wasn't something where he made a little slight move or there was an innuendo at the line of scrimmage that caused a complete disruption or this was a questionable PI call,
right.
Anything of that nature. This was a complete, like, tiny maybe, if they did call it and really saw it. Now, I would have to go back and understand and talk to them and go back to the pool report. But, like, you come to a full stop at a four-way. And you slightly roll through, maybe.
Yeah, it was harsh.
That's the best analogy I
yes.
can come up with.
They did warn him, and Ben Johnson did say that he was warned prior to that call. But
it wasn't an illegal formation. His helmet was correct. Was where it needed to be. It was
his foot was back further than it should have been. His
right.
helmet was still in the right spot
yes.
within the threshold. So it was a little bit. I agree with you, Stacey. It was one
harsh.
Of those calls that was did not have any impact on the play itself.
That's the point. That's the point, David. There was no impact on any course of that play. That Theo Benedict, like, why would you call that? I imagine the trajectory. It killed the momentum for the Chicago
yes.
Bears.
Yes.
Like, they had to claw back. I would have said that either way. Like, I don't have a bias going into these games. The best team and ties should be ruled out of football. Like, I can't stand the fact that the Green Bay Packers tied with the Dallas Cowboys. It was horrific. But, like, to see any game, a team claw back and win a game or be on the road in those conditions and win a game that's why it was such a great performance. Like, the Bears played through a couple of calls like that I thought was pretty exceptional, and you give a lot of credit to the coaching staff.
Where are you this week?
I am Detroit, Monday Night Football for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's
so that'll
a good
be a
game.
Fun one.
Yeah.
That'll
it's
be a
been
fun
a kind
one.
Of weird schedule, guys, because of the international games mm-hmm. with NFL Network. So they air at 8:30 Central Time every Sunday. So we don't really have a show. So I've been kind of pushed over to Monday games, which I can't complain. I got one in Washington, D.C. that was phenomenal. I'm going to see one next week that's going to be phenomenal.
You know, I got to tell you, it's really difficult following the league how upside down things have gotten in different ways. And like, you know, we talked a little bit about the Bears who have games, you know, coming up where they'll play Baltimore and Cincinnati. Those suddenly look winnable when they looked impossible when the season started. It's like, it's just so strange to watch just what teams are rising, what teams are falling, and what we think of teams as this season is progressing.
You're so right, Molly. The NFL is fascinating every year. You know, we mentioned earlier the schedule. The Bears have the Saints this week. They are 1-5. The Baltimore Ravens, I think, are 1-5.
Yeah, incredible.
They have them at Baltimore. That is a winnable football game. We'll see how Lamar Jackson's injury is progressing. Cincinnati is the following week, another game on the road.
Yep.
and then you're back home against the New York Giants. Like, you're right, Molly. The schedule always finds a way to work itself out, whether it's good or bad for a team in the NFL. And I think you're seeing, this is as much parity that I've seen in a very long time in the National Football League. When I think about the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens, all teams we thought were going to just kind of run away with their schedules, and that hasn't been the case. And you're seeing some teams that have made drastic improvements. I mentioned the Jaguars earlier.
Yeah.
The Chicago Bears are one of those teams. It's really cool to see the parity right now in the NFL.
It's been great to see. I'm glad you're enjoying it because your Sooners lost on Saturday. Sorry about that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, David has this game, Stacy. You must be torn apart because this game features Caleb Spencer Rattler and who did you say? Cade Horton.
I wondered
was
once if Cade Horton, Spencer Rattler, and Caleb Williams were ever on camp at the same time, Stacy.
Yeah, right. Listen, so I was watching OU Texas on Saturday, and I started playing some. I'm a very strange person sometimes. I was actually like playing superstitions with myself. I thought maybe if I stopped watching it for a little bit. So I went out and I took the dogs for a walk. I came back in and nothing changed. Nothing changed. And then I thought, well, maybe if I just turn it off altogether, what if that helps? Nothing helped. So thank you for reminding me of my miserable Saturday, David.
I'm sorry.
That's hilarious. Stacy, you're the best.
Safe
thank
travels.
You so much.
You guys are. Have a wonderful week, guys.
You too.
That's Stacy Dales. That's hysterical.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Troy, you know we have the NHL on ESPN. Well, if you knew that, glad that hockey is back.
You ever call hockey?
I am not smart enough or quick enough to do that. No.
Nope. The names are too tough. The puck moves too fast.
Got to know your limitations. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Tuesday. Presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. The game was on ESPN. It was actually on ABC last night, but it's an ESPN production of Monday Night Football because they had the other Monday Night Football game on ESPN actual.
And that's where the Bills lost, and first place in that division goes to the New England Patriots.
It does. Drake May playing good ball.
It's pretty interesting.
I don't know if I believe it, but
He's playing good ball.
Been getting texts all day unsolicited about Troy Aikman's commentary on Caleb Williams. Let's play a few and discuss and see if we think like it's all the same issue or if each one might have its own conversation. All okay. Right?
Let's talk about the idea of leading a receiver, a runner's ball.
Williams fires over the middle, and the former Commander, Zacchaeus, is good for 11. And a nice diving grab by Olamide for a first down. Yeah, really nice catch by Olamide Zacchaeus, and you're going to see he hooks up, whereas Caleb Williams kind of expects him to continue to stay on the move. Otherwise, he's able to catch this ball and maybe do something with it. And that is an area that Caleb Williams needs to improve as they move through the rest of this season, the run after the catch. In fact, in talking with Ben Johnson, he refers to it as a runner's ball, meaning get the ball in his hands with the ability to run after the reception.
Thought Caleb did a very nice job on several other throws, shallow crosses, one deep cross that was in there. But if he's late on some of those crossing patterns and you're calling that out, I have no problem with that. That's the way the Lions defense operates. Jameson Williams had a great touchdown against Kansas City the other night when he caught a runner's ball from Jared Goff on his way across the field.
I look at this and be like, hey, look, you won the rep because you picked up a first down, an 11-yard play there, and it allows for Troy to go back to stuff that he heard from Ben Johnson himself and say, yeah, this is good, but they would like for it to be the best that it can be.
So I didn't have a problem with that one. I thought, I mean, yes, it was a completion, but he's given you some nuance as far as the quarterback play goes. Here's the deep shot to Rome in double coverage that Troy had something to say about.
Caleb buys time, airs it out. Odunze, incomplete. Never had a chance. Savage and Quan Martin were back there for the Commanders bracketing Rome Odunze. Yeah, you don't know what exactly Caleb Williams is being told or what they're going to do when they come in the game. But, you know, do you say, hey, we're going to take our shot, give him a chance. But there was no chance that this ball, you know, you got two defenders and they were there the whole time. And, you know, okay, you give Odunze an opportunity to go up and make a play, and that's fine. Take the sure thing, especially there on second down.
Later in the game, Caleb would give a chance to Rome Odunze, and it was called back for what seemed like a really dubious formation penalty that was thrown. I didn't hear anything that I thought was egregious from Troy Aikman last night. I know a lot of people heard it that way. I didn't. I tend to side with Kurt on this, where when it comes to quarterback, and I do think it's difficult for all of us to understand and then mute some of the biases that we come into it with, but I think whenever there's a quarterback in the booth, they are giving you something, most of the time, 90% of the time at a national level, they are giving you what they have been taught and what they picked up from talking to the coaches about what it is that the coaches want.
Ben Johnson said, we're taking the governor off. We're taking the training wheels off. We're going to open things up. A lot more motions, a lot more shifts than what they've shown through the first four games.
We're ready to go. The governor's off.
Governor's off, baby.
And I do think that there is usually a higher standard when those guys are talking particularly about quarterback play.
I think that's true. I think that on that one, on the double coverage, I didn't love that ball going up there into double coverage. He gave Rome a chance, but it's double coverage. The one you're talking about, the touchdown, thought that was a beautiful. It's
gorgeous.
It was a 50-50 ball, and he threw it up there and gave his guy a chance. It was great.
It's funny. We were talking about that on the other side in our group chat last night with Jaden Daniels, and I'm like, yeah, I want to see Caleb start doing that, like
absolutely,
giving his guys a chance. And there it was, like
there
immediately
was.
After that,
yeah,
he gives him a chance to make a play. And look, this is gonna get lost and it's not sexy. Rome Odunze, I can't wait till tonight I go back and look at the All 22. The stuff he did blocking last night was pretty bleeping amazing. Just thought I'd add that to the conversation.
You're good. You're good.
All right.
Yeah, there's a little more of this, Troy, that I want to weigh in as well.
This is Troy talking about the failed two-point conversion.
And Williams in trouble. Throws back and incomplete for Zacchaeus. So they get the touchdown, cannot convert on the two-point try.
Now take a look at that last play. Here's Kyle Manungai, the tailback, and he's going to go to the flat. And that's typically the first read. And if Caleb goes right to him, he's got it. You know, just put it in his hands, and he's going to get it in the end zone. But his eyes were kind of up the field here or here. I'm not sure exactly where he was looking. And also the other part that people don't understand at times, that tackle right here, he can get in the line of sight for the quarterback, and sometimes he blinds the quarterback in being able to see that guy in the flat, but something kept him from going to Manungai immediately because that was really his only place to go with the football.
And he was wide open, too. Manungai was wide open.
And right there, I think you have Troy being a quarterback's quarterback in that moment and being like, hey, why didn't Caleb throw the ball? Well, yeah. Sometimes in those situations, the tackle drifts out there, and I can't see the guy who's wide open.
There were a couple others. One time, like, Caleb's been a little off tonight. There's another time he said he was late, but he still gets it. You know, there's little stuff like that. Here's the thing to me. We have a coach now who's not a BSer. He tells it to the players like they need to hear it.
Yes.
And you know he's doing that in the meetings with these guys as well. And we know that Caleb is a work in progress. Caleb is now comfortable saying it about himself, which is a wonderful thing that is now happening. This is a bumpy process. Caleb's not a perfect quarterback. He's learning and getting better. That's awesome. I have absolutely no problem with a quarterback analyst telling us where a guy is still struggling and learning. We're smart. Don't be sensitive to this stuff, Bears fans. It's not him ripping Caleb or favoring Jaden over Caleb. Jaden is further ahead. He is further ahead. Okay, so Caleb's learning, and it's a work in progress. And after the game, Aikman was on with Scott Van Pelt and was praising Caleb all over the place, especially for the calm that he showed at the end. It's okay to tell the truth about what you're seeing.
So I guess Ben was a little snippy on the coach's show about this, and then he was asked about that by the press corps earlier today.
I saw you said somewhere today that you caught a little bit of the TV copy of the second half. Did the tone of coming from the color analyst there surprise you?
Maybe I just had it on mute.
It sounded like you heard some of what they said.
Listen, you want respect in this league, you got to go earn it. And so that's where we're at right now. We need to go earn that respect from not only the rest of the teams in the NFL, but everybody. So that's where we are.
Wow. Wow. That's Ben having his players back just in case anything got back to Caleb. But Ben, you're the one who's in the meetings probably talking to Troy about, in fact, he was parroting some stuff
that
from you.
You said, like verbatim.
Like verbatim. He's... So that sounds to me, frankly, like Ben trying to have it both ways.
Yeah, and I don't like that. If you're going to be that way on the coach's show, then stand on it and then be that way. I would also suggest to him that that's not the best way to go about that. And I still think that even though we all love Ben,
wow,
he's having some issues navigating the media part of his job nationally. Locally, I think he's doing a great job with the people that are in the room and all that stuff. But, walking it back a little bit there.
Eh.
Walking it back a lot.
I didn't think so.
I didn't hear it. But earlier you were talking about how your kids heard it.
Yeah, but he's saying he got to earn some respect. Maybe, stuff like that.
Maybe go listen to it.
Wow.
Because you know you're going to be asked about it because you brought it up.
Man, a lot of texters disagree and think that Aikman was biased. Aikman was wrong on the last drive. Here's another. Aikman was praising Jaden for laughing after the interception. He would have crucified Caleb for that. It's a double standard.
I don't know if Troy would have crucified Caleb for that. I do think that there would have been a ton of people, mostly national and probably some locally, that would have destroyed Caleb for laughing at that. And then on top of it, losing the game. If you laugh at it and you win the game, It is probably like a tertiary story,
uh-huh.
But if you laugh at it and you lose the game, it allows people to be like, hey, what's so funny over there?
I mean,
what's going on? Do you think, what, am I a clown? Will I amuse you?
Here's another. Troy discussing the high snap that Caleb got sacked on. And he did say Caleb's got to grab it. And then how he discussed Jaden actually fumbling it away in a key moment. So, yeah, people were really sensitive to the comparison and sensitive to, you know, Jaden being better, which he is. Which he is. But that's...
I think that gap's closing, sir.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Maybe it is. But, yeah, that's... That's interesting. Troy also says a texter, Caleb almost threw that ball flat-footed, which is the most obvious tell. He's searching a rag on him any way possible.
I don't think that's what's happening.
I don't think that. I think he wants quarterbacks to throw with good fundamentals, which frankly they need to. When they can, they need to. He was also praising the arm on that play that you're talking about. It's amazing what Caleb can do.
What I don't like about this is I don't like the idea that they're is the belief that Troy is being malicious in his breakdown of Caleb. Whether you agree with what he says or doesn't, that's really not been his MO his entire career as an analyst.
No.
I do think that he holds quarterbacks to a bit of a higher standard than other players on the field. And because of his Hall of Fame career, he can hold quarterbacks to that standard. But the idea of malicious intent, I don't like the way that people are trying to frame it as if he walked into the game with an agenda to not talk well about Caleb. Like,
man.
I think you guys are being very dangerous and very cynical about someone who hasn't done this throughout his career. If we want to have a conversation about Collinsworth in that regard.
You think Collinsworth has done that?
And his favoritism that seems to really play out, and there's a long history of it when it comes to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
we can have that conversation. I don't think you can put Troy in that category.
I think 3 weeks ago, most Bears fans would have agreed that Caleb is a work in progress and getting better, and we'll see what happens. And we've got to wait on this and take till October. That's or take till November or whatever or Thanksgiving, wherever you want to do it. It's still the case. He's still a work in progress.
Yes.
They're winning while he's a work in progress, which was wonderful. But it's okay to tell the truth about him being a work in progress.
And think about the things that you as a fan have said about Caleb when things haven't gone right. The idea of him not stepping into throws or missing guys who are wide open. Mm. And maybe missing guys when they're wide open because his mechanics aren't right. These are all things that you as a Bears fan have identified and spoken about. So the fact that someone who has played this position at the highest of levels is telling you that. And I'll just say, like, from having him on the show, when he talked about some of these things that Caleb wasn't doing, you hallelujahed and amened when he said it to us here on The Score.
Right.
So don't try to make him out to be like he's some guy that's got his knives out. There are plenty of those people in national media, and we will call them out when they show their ass. That was not what Troy Aikman was doing last night.
I got to say, I agree with you, by the way. And I got to say, like, big fan of Ben Johnson, but in this case, I feel like he's trying to throw red meat to his players and maybe the base.
Yes. Yes, he very much is.
It feels a little disingenuous.
Yeah, I don't like it. I'd rather that he, if that's how you felt this morning, that you know, your kids got you fired up about whatever was being heard.
Okay.
I would appreciate you, one, going back and actually looking at it.
Kids might be wrong.
Yeah, that's usually how it works when things are heard secondhand. And two, don't try to throw a stone and hide your hand. You threw a stone this morning. Stand on it and be like, hey, or say, you know what, I heard it secondhand. I went back and I looked at it. It was fine.
I think he stood on it. I think he stood. He said, I'm not saying, I'm just saying, is what he said. So he just kind of let it lie there. That was a little funky. That's too bad.
Yeah, a little funky.
A little funky.
But hey, Bears win.
Yeah, they did.
And that's a good thing.
That's a very good point. I don't think it's been said enough.
Hey, get your affairs in order.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
they
it.
Can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.